Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning. I am Dr. Vincent Medici, and this is why we are all in the city of Los Angeles, because it's freezing winter. I wouldn't want to be in North Dakota right now. Neither would you. And it's the kind of day we all love. Sunny, warm, and this is when you think about your health. Except this morning, you may be suffering from acid reflux. And for as much as I never thought I was going to do another show on digestion, I am going to do another show on digestion because I don't think we really understand this yet. And I've got some paradigms or some angles on this that I know you haven't heard. I certainly know you haven't mastered it. So if you've got any of those vexations from the evening meal that cause you to burn in your solar plexus, that cause your esophagus to spasm, that make your vocal cords burn, that make your voice hoarse. If you don't even know you have this problem, but you've got this funny cough and your doctor said you're throwing up your acids, this is the show for you. And if not, it's still the show for you, because I'm going to draw, as always, I'm going to pull from lots of different parts of physiology and anatomy. So, indigestion, the first three rows of any drugstore across the United States, filled with antacids and all sorts of digestive aids, pharmaceutical, Pepcid, Prevacid, you name it, prescription or otherwise, across the counter. This is the issue. Your solution, as always, is to get the anatomy and the physiology down pat, to master it. So let's begin. The food goes in the mouth. Simple. You're going to chew, 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 and chew, or you're going to gulp, 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 and gulp. Big difference between the two. Yeah, we all know it, but do you really chew your food? We'll get into it in a moment. Then down the esophagus. That's that tube. That tube that goes right down past your pharynx, through behind your chest, and just at the part of your chest, as you go down the chest midline, that becomes soft tissue. Just as your fingers hit the bone of the chest, the sternum, the xiphoid process, and all of a sudden your fingers dip into that soft spot, does that esophagus go through the diaphragm and it becomes the stomach. So the esophagus passes, as you're swallowing the food, through a hole in the diaphragm, that dome-shaped, very thin muscle that goes across your whole body center. That esophagus goes through that hole, and then it becomes the beginning of your stomach. Now, that esophagus has sphincters, orifices. It has a tone. The esophagus is a muscle. It's just not a big piece of plastic. It's not just a piece of flaccid tissue. It's a tube. It's a rubber tube that's muscular. It's elastic. And it's got a tone to it. So at the end of it, the food's got to go through a sphincter. That sphincter has a lot of nerve fibers in it. That sphincter has a lot more muscle in it. Not striated muscle, not the muscle of your arms, but smooth muscle. The muscle of your organs, but it's still muscle, and it's still elastic, and it still has a tone. And as that food pushes open, the bolus of food, the bubble of food pushes open that ring of muscle at the end of the esophagus through the diaphragm. It pops into your stomach. Now, Christmas has come early this year because I am building out this website. I hope you are streaming the show. Please stream the show. If you are listening on radio now, go to Straight Talk. That's 2Ts.cc. Get on the website and stream the show. You're going to get better reception. But then what you can do is you just press a button up top, Radio Literature. Radio Literature, and you can see the pictures that I attach to this show. If you're in the car, of course, you can't do this, but lots of you are at home right now listening to the show. Lots of you listen to the show during the week, and if you do, you get on Radio Literature because you can see pictures of what I'm describing. Each week now, I'm going to be teaching this show, whether you're listening to it live right now or whether you're, and hopefully streaming it, or whether you're listening to it during the week on the archives, I'm going to have pictures and words and lots of other tools now. Because it's time. After 81, 82 shows, we have to deepen your understanding. The only way I can do it is with pictures. And we got a whole slew of videos coming out. Great videos. So if you can get to the radio show literature on the website, do that right now. If not, it's the theater of your mind. You can just listen and imagine. So that food, it pushes through the esophagus. It goes down to the end of the esophagus, where the sphincter has to stretch out, go through the diaphragm, or vice versa, depending upon different factors, and into the stomach. Now, once we're in the stomach, well, then the stomach's got its job to do. That's not news to you. That stomach has parietal cells, and those cells produce hydrochloric acid and pepsin, an intrinsic factor that helps your B12 get absorbed, and all sorts of wonderful things. And that stomach produces a ton of mucus because that stomach is extremely acidic. Its pH is way, way down there. And that's because of the hydrochloric acid. And that hydrochloric acid has many functions. Number one, it digests your animal proteins, your proteins. It pulls apart chains of amino acids, and it helps break them down into smaller pieces. So HCL has a function. It's not just to digest your animal protein, not just to digest your protein, but it's also to disinfect the intestinal tract. So if you have H. pylori, or you have some parasite come in, or you eat rotten food, E. coli, salmonella. If you're producing enough hydrochloric acid, you have successfully disinfected your gastrointestinal tract, and nothing can hurt you. Super important. Animals that eat rotten meat, meat that would make lots of people sick, animals do that all the time. In fact, so do certain tribes. I hope you caught my Medicine Men Go Wild documentary with the Von Tilliken twins. I told you about that last week, where you looked at the Eskimos up in Siberia eating rotten fat, walrus fat, stored in shacks for 4 months and eating it semi-frozen. Gross stuff, but a delicacy, they call it. High meat. They let the fish rot in the snow for 2-3 months, 2-3 weeks, and then they eat that, the high meat. And it goes into their body and does them well. But they don't get sick. Part of that is any bad bacteria, any bacteria that really the body doesn't want to use, the HCL disinfects. So that food passes through the sphincter of the esophagus, passes through the diaphragm, passes into the stomach. The HCL does its job, sets up the pH of the intestine, disinfects your body, breaks down the proteins. That food rumbles around in the stomach, and then goes out the other valve at the end of the stomach, the pyloric valve, into the beginning of a 35-foot small tube called the small intestine, your guts, tripe as we know it. The small intestine, it's where we make the sausage casings. Pull out that small intestine, it's elastic. Blow it up like a balloon. Use the stomach as a water pouch. Yeah, that's what we do. That small intestine, that 35 feet, the first part of it, the duodenum, right there in your solar plexus. So if your fingers are on your chest, walking down the bones of your chest, and then all of a sudden your fingers are off the bone and into a soft spot, that's the place you don't want to get punched, right? He punched me in the solar plexus. He knocked out my wind. I no longer could breathe. It's a vital zone. It's a nerve plexus. It's a place where if you get hurt there, you're going to feel it. You're not going to breathe for a while. You know the spot. Everybody's been accidentally punched there in childhood. Right there is the intersection in the duodenum. The first foot, first half a foot of the small intestine in the duodenum. There's the intersection of the HCL-drenched food with the bile ducts. The common bile duct mixed with the pancreatic duct. In that spot, the solar plexus, we are, in normal physiology, mixing bile with the HCL-drenched food, our chewed-up, liquidy HCL-drenched food, with the pancreatic enzymes, protease, amylase, lipase. Perfect. If everybody does their job, you eat the food, there is no reflux, there's no pain, there's no bloating, there's no gas, there's no fullness, there's no heaviness, you don't fall asleep. You just eat the food, feel the energy, and go out and run another 10 miles on a day like this, right? So if you got up this morning and you charbroiled the steak without letting the flame hit the steak to make the cancer-causing chemicals, you just singed it. Cut the steak thin, or did the steak raw, tartare, mixed it with the poached eggs, or whatever you mixed it with, and you downed it, and it disappeared in your stomach fast. It's like you didn't even eat, and yet you just ate a steak and four eggs, a hunter's breakfast. And you stood up after 10 minutes, there was nothing in your stomach anymore. Where did it all go? When you have that meal, sushi, that raw fish, that sashimi, eat $200 worth of it. It all disappears in your stomach. Where did it all go? But then you go out and have two slices at Pizza Hut at 10 o'clock at night. And you're up all night burping and belching and screaming and you're in pain. Or you have half a bag of pretzels and a donut before you go to bed. You have that emotional moment and you suffer. Because as light as that and as non-nutritious as that food is, you can't digest it. And so it produces pain. But in the proper sense, all these things are done correctly and that food disappears and you go on with energy. And that's the way it's supposed to happen. Now, how does it really happen? Why do the first three rows of CVS, Stride Rite, and any drugstore across the United States from Walmart to wherever consist of antacids, digestive aids? Because it doesn't happen that way. Not for many of you, not for your relatives and friends. And it's a lot more than betaine hydrochloride and digestive enzymes. I wouldn't do this show. I'd be on a street corner handing out betaine hydrochloride and digestive enzymes. But that helps, but it's not enough. Get this straight about betaine hydrochloride and digestive enzymes. They're good to take, number one. Number two, don't let anybody tell you that if you put extra HCL and extra pancreatic enzyme in your body, then your own HCL and your own pancreas will go to sleep. That's nonsense. So they're great to take, but they will not do the job. They will not get rid of your acid reflux many, many, many times. They will not stop your bloating, your gas. They will help. They will not stop. So they're not foundational. Lifestyle changes are foundational. And then you add, like around the Christmas feast when you're going to break every rule in the book. Like when you travel to Europe and you're going to break every rule in the book. Like when you're out on a business luncheon and you just got to do what the Romans do. This is where these HCLs and the pancreatic enzymes are fantastic. but they're not foundational. You really want to dialogue in your being, in your body. Turn on the sensory receptors in you. Activate you to feel what digestion, healthy digestion, really is. Find those foods, whatever they are, and set that as your standard. And then everything you eat has to meet that standard. And if it doesn't, figure it out. Simple. That's your job. Figure out a successful relationship with your body. All right, so what really happens? You lose your teeth, so you can't even chew. You have these loose bridges, you can't even chew. You eat food that's cooked too much, or if it's not, you don't chew it because you're talking all the time. At business, at lunch, at home, eating fast, eating in the car, not chewing enough. Instead of chew, 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 you gulp, 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 and gulp. Big mistake. Why buy digestive enzymes when you don't take enough time to chew your food? You see, it's myopic. It's the other way around. Chew, 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 and chew. Why? Because the amylase in your saliva will start your carbohydrate digestion. Why? Because there's a big difference in your stomach between dumping a hunk of well-done carne asada down there, or medium, because you don't want to see the blood, of carne asada down there, or some steak fairly cooked in large unchewed pieces. There's a big difference between that and chewing it to a liquid consistency in your mouth, taking your time, savoring the flavor, and then downing it. Huge difference in terms of the stress to the body. So chew those fibrous foods to what? So the amylase from the saliva breaks the food down. But what else? To break up the cellulose in the food. To break up the cellulose in the food. The chewing is the time for the mechanical part of digestion. So chew your food liquid, number one. Number two, make sure you're taking your salt, right? Your salt, sodium chloride. The body uses the chlorine to make hydrogen chloride. And that's your hydrochloric acid that the stomach, via the parietal cell, produces. So you got to have that HCl. Then, of course, that bubble of food starts to hit the duodenum, right? After it, what did I say? Goes down through the esophagus, opens the sphincter through the diaphragm, or not, and we'll get to that in a moment, and then into the stomach, through the stomach, out the end of the stomach, through the pyloric valve, into the duodenum, the first foot or so of the small intestine, the 35-foot small intestine that we're going to make sausage casings out of later. So there you have that food there in the duodenum, the solar plexus area. And that food has to get bile to break down the fats. And that food has to get pancreatic enzyme. Suppose you don't have HCl. Suppose you don't get enough bile because the bile ducts are clogged. Suppose your pancreas is exhausted, so it's not putting out proficient amounts of protease, lipase, and amylase. So if you minimize HCl, if you didn't chew the food, if the bile doesn't flow as much as it should, if the pancreas is weak, then you make some great big blob that sits there that you can't digest. Now, when you can't digest it, you feel bloated. When you can't digest it, other bacteria in the gut will start to try to digest it. The inefficiency of digestion. Remember, there's no such thing as no digestion. There's no such thing as no HCl, no bile, no pancreatic enzyme. You always have a certain amount of it. And in that you have a certain amount of it, it's highly efficient, moderately efficient, or minimally efficient. The more minimally efficient your digestion is, the more garbage acids you produce. Sulfonic acid, lactic acid. Rotting food, we say. Does the food rot? Lots of people say no. Lots of people say the food doesn't rot. I don't know what they're drinking or smoking or whatever it is. Go look it up on Google. Does the food rot? No, that's a myth. Food doesn't rot in your gut. That's a lot of baloney, sure. So why, when you have a well-done carne asada or Pizza Hut at 10 o'clock at night, do you scream for hours? It's not just reflux. It's not just the food coming back up. Something's going on. If you really study the science of digestion, there are always products of inefficiency. The degree to which the digestion is inefficient produces lactic acid, sulfonic acids, different types of compounds that are pro-inflammatory. Meaning your tissues in the duodenum don't like these inefficient digestive processes. Those tissues inflame. Those cells, part of your inner digestive tube, get inflamed. That means inflammatory chemicals are produced. And those inflammatory chemicals create more irritation. And this whole big thing begins. This cauldron of inefficiency begins. And your nerve sensors down there in your duodenum pick up those signals. And those signals go up to your brain, and your brain sends you down a message that you have pain, burning, so on and so forth. So when you don't chew, you just gulp, there's no salt, there's not enough HCl, there's not enough bile, there's not enough pancreatic enzyme, this pro-inflammatory bomb goes off in the solar plexus, and boom. This is a form. It's one form of indigestion. It's one form of heartburn. It's not the only one. That's what they don't tell you. It's not the only one. That's what they don't tell you. So, this pro-inflammatory bomb goes off in your solar plexus, and it's not until your body can buffer it with, first of all, a ton of blood. Your body's going to bring a ton of blood to the area. That's why you're tired. When you have indigestion, it's not just indigestion, burning, so on and so forth, heartburn. It's, you got to bring way more blood there. You bring way more blood there to add to this inflammatory mess, and that's less blood for your head. It's less blood for your arms. You're certainly going to not have your breakfast and go out and run 5 miles. You're going to have your breakfast because you cooked the omelet too much and you put in too many raw vegetables that didn't digest. They were too fibrous. And you're going to sit there and you're going to burp, and you're not going to feel like a workout because you can't stand up because all the blood is in your gut being digested. There's none for your legs. You remember the old story. You got to wait at least an hour after you eat before you go in the water, or you'll cramp up and drown. Remember that one? Well, that was a smart thing to tell a kid. Why? Because those kids are going to sit down and eat 15 pancakes and syrup and soda and bread and butter and all the garbage, and then do what? Go running like banshees into the ocean. And those little legs don't get the blood because all that blood is in their gut, and that's how we have problems. So we understand this. It's not folklore, it's wisdom. Now, there's another form of heartburn. And that's what you're going to need a picture to understand. If you don't, do without it. It's the theater of your mind. But if you can get to the website, I want you to look at the two pictures that I've put. And if you're listening later on, after the show's been archived, make sure you're in the radio literature section, because there's a form of heartburn that's structural. It's not about the chemistry of your body. We just went into the chemistry. It's about the structure. And I want you to really get an understanding of this, because half of all heartburn has a structural problem. Yeah, that's you, because you're downing the betaine hydrochloride and you're downing the digestive enzymes, and you still have heartburn and you can't figure it out. You're about to get the education you need. So understand this. Understand that when the food goes down the esophagus, through the esophageal ring, through the diaphragm, into the stomach, that esophageal sphincter, through the diaphragm, the beginning of the stomach, sometimes it opens, but it doesn't fully close. It opens, but it doesn't fully close. And when it doesn't fully close, the stomach acids will reflux back up. So this is a form of heartburn now. Esophageal spasms, reflux, that cough you just can't get rid of. A lot of fat people get it. Pregnant women get it. Well, why do I have it? I'm skinny. I have the same thing, but I have no fat. You're going to learn why. You're going to learn that it's not that someone's fat. It's not that someone's pregnant. It's the result of being overweight and pregnant. It's what it does internally that causes this. You can be skinny and have it just as much as someone that's fat, but you're going to have to understand the psoas muscle. If you go to show 13, I did the whole show, dynamic exercise, on the psoas muscle. Most important but most elusive muscle of your body to understand. Believe it or not, the contention here, beyond doubt. I've seen lots of heartburn fix just by having people lose a little weight and getting flexible to stretch out their psoas muscle. And yet it's a muscle none of us stretch, none of us relate to, very few of us even understand on any level, let alone the level you need. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc, and learn what the reality of your heartburn really is. Now, sometimes that sphincter in the esophagus, you swallow the food, it goes to the stomach, and then the sphincter in the esophagus opens back up again. Remember, at the end of the esophagus is a ring of tension. It's called an orifice or a sphincter. And remember, the esophagus goes through the diaphragm, and through that diaphragm is another sphincter. A sphincter has a tone. A sphincter can be way too tight or way too loose. The tightness versus the looseness of the sphincter, the esophageal sphincter, the sphincter of the diaphragm, the pyloric sphincter, the second anal sphincter, the anal sphincter, the ileocecal sphincter. All these sphincters, the tightness and the looseness, create the tone. The tone is controlled by a lot of things. If you don't have the right tone, the esophagus doesn't open, and you have a horrid spasm. You ever swallow food kind of the wrong way? I don't mean you choke. No, your supplements in the morning. Yes, the 200 supplements, or maybe it seems like 200 to you. It's only 6, but it's 5 o'clock in the morning, and you've been snoring all night, and your mouth is open. And your whole throat is dry, but you've got to get those supplements in. And so you do it before you eat your food, because you want to make sure you do it. Because after you eat your food, you triple your time to the car, and you'll not do your supplements. So you want to do those supplements. And so you do. So what do? You take 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 supplements at 5 o'clock in the morning. It's dark out. The birds aren't even up yet. And that sticky, dry mouth of yours takes the sticky, dry vegetable capsule, and the two stick to each other. And this stickiness goes off about halfway down at 5 a.m. in the middle of your esophagus. And your esophagus spasms. You can't get the supplements through. They get caught at the end. And this bomb goes off. That's what happens when the sphincter doesn't open. Now, sometimes the sphincter doesn't close. And if you have particularly acidic foods, spicy foods, lemony foods, tomato sauce, whatever your particular problem might be, the irritation of these spicy-like foods or citrus-like foods, the irritation of it, because the sphincter doesn't close, starts to come back up and it irritates the lower part of the esophagus. That irritation can create fumes all the way up. It can create pain. And in that, there's somewhat of a failure to close at the end of that esophagus. Or the esophagus closes normally, but those foods irritate anyway. You get esophageal reflux. It's different than that other thing I was just describing. It's different than lactic acid, sulfonic acid being made on the other end, past the stomach, in the intestine, the small intestine. Those are different types of problems. But we're talking about the one that everybody kind of says they know. The stomach acid's reflux up into the lower part of the esophagus, irritated by certain kinds of foods. Let me ask you a question. The HCl that's so critical in the production of what it takes to digest your proteins, your animal proteins, the bile, the pancreatic fluids. What part of the nervous system makes sure that you produce enough of these fluids? What part of the autonomic nervous system? Well, I hope you know the answer, because I'll never stop saying it. The part of the nervous system that makes sure you produce your HCl, your bile, your pancreas, is the parasympathetic nerve. The parasympathetic nerves, specifically the vagus nerve. The vagus nerve is the relaxation nerve. The vagus nerve is the nerve that slows your heart down. The vagus nerve is the nerve that enhances digestion. And if that vagus nerve's not working, if it's blocked, if its electrical signal is blocked because your stress nerves, your sympathetic nerves intercept it, your sympathetic nerves don't let the vagus nerve turn on, you can't even get those digestive fluids. If you zing, if you produce enough sympathetic impulse into the parietal cells that make the HCl, you don't get any HCl. You don't get any bile. You don't get any pancreatic enzyme. So I just deviated a little bit. Had to slip you a little reminder. That whole pro-inflammatory ball that creates inflammation in the solar plexus, one form of heartburn. Remember, if you're stressed, if you're in sympathetic dominance, if you don't really know what it means to relax, you gotta get in touch. Because you're the person that's going to keep downing digestive enzymes, change the diet, do all these things, and you're still going to have burning there. If you're up clenching all night, there's a hint. I clench, I have acid reflux. People come in all the time. I have terrible acid reflux. I've done everything. I can't figure it out. They don't come in saying I clench. They come in saying my belly burns. They come in saying I take everything and nothing works. And there's a good reason for that, because they're in sympathetic dominance. One hint, you clenchers out there, you guys are working something out when you sleep that you're not resolving in the day. And you can't resolve it, you internalize it. And so at night you clench. That's a good sign of sympathetic dominance. And one of the things that'll do is prevent these digestive fluids from being secreted. Now back to this little heartburn here, because the esophageal ring is not closing. The esophageal ring is not closing. It's only partly closed. Its tone is off. So you swallow, you take the food down, the tomato sauce from Pizza Hut, the spicy food, the lemony food. And for reasons we're going to get into, structural reasons, that sphincter, the tone is off, so it comes back up. You cough. Your vocal cords get hoarse. You burn. You might even spasm in the esophagus. And they tell you you had acid reflux. Then they give you an antacid, Prevacid, Pepcid, Protonix. I know you already know. I don't have to tell you, but I'll just remind you. Don't take antacids. They're a disaster for your life. Long term, they will kill you. They should be wiped from the market tomorrow. In an emergency, different story. Have a little Pepto-Bismol, a little Alka-Seltzer. Calcium. Honestly, down the Carl Legend. Take a teaspoon and a half of it mixed with aloe during an antacid, during an acid attack. The calcium will buffer it. You'll get over it. But the long-term use of antacids, you don't want to do that. Well, you already know that. This is what's new. What's new is this. There's a muscle called the psoas muscle. P-S-O-A-S. Now, if you can get and look at those pictures on the show, you'll see what I'm talking about. That psoas muscle, if you put your hand right in your solar plexus and go back and deep and deep and deep, underneath all your guts, so underneath your skin, underneath the fat, underneath the muscles, underneath your intestines, underneath your stomach, underneath your pancreas, all the way to your spine, the vertebra, the bones of your spine, underneath everything are these two huge muscles that grow out of the solar plexus area. They grow right out of it. And they extend all the way down behind all your guts, and they attach on the other end to your legs. That's right. Called the psoas muscle. It runs the entire length of your abdominal cavity. It's underneath all your large intestine, your small intestine, your stomach, your kidneys, your pancreas, everything. And what happens when this muscle isn't stretched? You have a weak core, a la Pilates, a weak core, a la yoga, a weak core. When your core strength is weak, this muscle shortens. Tight lower abs, not crunch abs. Lower abs tend to stretch this muscle out. This muscle is in antagonism to your lower abs. You know the lower ab exercises, the ones you hate to do. Those lower abdominal muscles counter this muscle. If the low abs are toned, if between the belly button and the pubic bone you are flat, even concave, then the psoas muscle has length and stretches out. But the minute we lose the lower abs, the psoas muscle shortens. The quadriceps, the thigh muscles, also shorten. Every time you lift your legs, every time you kick, every time you walk, every time you run, every time you move, every time you sit, the psoas muscle that starts way up in your solar plexus and ends all the way down in your legs, in your thigh, your upper thigh, that psoas muscle shortens in all these situations. And then if the lower abs are weak, the psoas muscle shortens more. Now, here's the whole thing in a nutshell. And hopefully you're looking at the pictures. That psoas muscle underneath your guts, as it shortens, it pushes forward. It pushes out. It makes your belly stick out. And it starts all the way up at the solar plexus. The solar plexus, yeah. Where your stomach is, where the esophagus is becoming the stomach. And as that high end, the upper end of the psoas muscle pushes out, pushes forward, it torques, it bends the junction between the esophagus and the upper stomach. It's like a hand went behind your stomach a big hand went behind your stomach just as you were swallowing that taco. And just when that taco wanted to go through the esophageal ring, through the diaphragm into the stomach, a big hand behind your stomach pushed the stomach out and up and torqued that junction. People live that way. They live that way 24/7. Ladies, when you were pregnant in your seventh month, eighth month, ninth month, that was your indigestion. Men, with that huge gut, that's your indigestion. Anybody that fits the bill, and many people fit the bill. Tight quadriceps, a psoas muscle that doesn't stretch, weak lower abs, weight, all sorts of things. Psyche will spasm the psoas muscle. It's not that you don't have tension there. It's, are you connected to the tension there so that you can stretch out the thighs? Again, get to show 13, dynamic exercise. It all links up. It's the beauty of education. This is what I want you to understand. This is what I want you to tell your friends about. These are integrated models. It's not a symptom herb show. And if you listen, it'll teach you how to use herbs on an even deeper level. Herbs are important, but they have their place. Foundations are more important. So if you know how to use the tools, then you become a master craftsman. If you just throw everything together, you don't get an optimal result. So here you've got the psoas muscle shortening for all the reasons I stated, pushing out the stomach and up the stomach, and bingo, you put enough torque where the esophagus meets the cardiac part of the stomach, the top of the stomach, and you're never going to have the right tone to the esophageal sphincter. It's going to stay open. Or you're going to push that stomach up so hard you're going to tear the ring of the diaphragm. You're going to stuff the stomach up above the diaphragm, the thin dome with the hole in it that the esophagus goes through, and then it becomes the stomach. You're going to take that stomach and you're going to stuff it up under the diaphragm, through the hole in the diaphragm. And you know what we call that? A hiatal hernia. A low-grade hiatal hernia. Because we don't stretch the psoas, because we're too overweight, because we internalize our emotions. You can be real skinny with no body fat and heavily internalized, and you're going to spasm your psoas. You can be the most holly jolly guy around, but you're 200 pounds overweight. You're going to spasm out your psoas. You can be pregnant. You can be not on the other side of your pregnancy 1 to 2 to 3 years later. You can stretch these sphincters out because you can't connect to them. A la Pilates, a la yoga, a la anything that teaches you how to connect to your body. You can be disconnected from your body to the point where you have no relationship with this stuff. You can have a hernia. You can have a coughing spell. You can be exercising and all of a sudden you cough and you spasm out those sphincters, and because you don't have any relationship what I'm talking about, the sphincters stay spasmed. There's lots of reasons. I'm only getting into some of them. The point is, do you have a connection with that area? This is why we invented Pilates, massage therapy, yoga therapy. But you start with education. You got to get the theoretical model. So this is the first step. Relationship with the psoas muscle. So this psoas muscle moves anterior, and as it moves anterior, it physically crushes your stomach and the junction between the esophagus. On top of which, inside the psoas muscle, buried in it, are all those little spaghetti-like nerves. And as those nerves push forward, they pull and inflame. And as they pull and inflame, the nerve flow to your organs depresses. So the psoas, as it moves your stomach and your organs, in as it displaces them, as it's displaced, it also pulls your nerves, all those blood vessels, the arteries, the veins, the lymph, the nerves, all those conduits of energy and nutrition and drainage. Remember last week's show on drainage? All these things become twisted and torqued because the psoas has moved anterior. And as it moves anterior, it torques the stomach. As it moves anterior, it pulls the nerves. Those nerves then to the liver, to the gallbladder, to the stomach, to the pancreas, the celiac ganglion, the nerve plexus, the solar plexus. That solar plexus, the place you didn't want to get hit as a kid, that solar plexus is really a dissectable little marble called the celiac ganglion. And there's all these little nerve plexuses, marbles, little chunks of nerve tissue up and down your midline of your body, deep. The celiac ganglion, the superior mesenteric ganglion, the inferior mesenteric ganglion. These are nerve junctions. As the psoas moves, these things move with the psoas. And you will suffer from a depressed flow of the vagus nerve, of the autonomic parasympathetic nerves, into these vital organs. This is a classic example of structure determining function, of your structural imbalance creating a physiological imbalance. It is at least 50% of all reflux. Wow. So for that we do Pepcid, Prevacid, Protonix. For that we may be failing at the digestive changes. We may not be hitting the mark taking betaine hydrochloride and digestive enzymes because because there's a significant structural defect. Psoas, PSOAS, unknown muscle, the cornerstone, the foundation of many, many therapies in what we call structural medicine. So understand, you just can't look at one branch of medicine. You have to integrate the psychology. You have to integrate the biomechanics, the structure. You have to, of course, integrate the biochemistry. I love the biochemistry. It's my favorite part. But it has to be integrated, and if you don't integrate, you don't bake the cake. You choke. That's the problem with holistic medicine that you're not going to suffer from. So get to the website, straighttalk.cc. Take a look at this show again. Look at the pictures I'm attaching. And I've got two spaces left for tomorrow's class. Two. I want two good people that are not going to sit there and say, it's too far to go. I don't have the time. All these things that just mean you're going to spin in circles. Don't do that. The most cost-effective dollar you can spend, you're going to sit there and go to the store and buy herbs, listen to radio shows and buy herbs. Look, if you've got the dispendable cash, go ahead and do it. But if you are thinking about your investment, and I know you are, take the time once every 6 weeks to get educated. Get to the website, read about it, the costs, everything. Two people that are interested, not just in their own health, but in health in general. I have a class of people. We finished our 13th class last week with one group. We've got another group that's in their fourth meeting. And they're turning on to health. You see, health should be a passionate hobby, like politics, like how you invest your money. It's one of those big things. Enough with that. So, the psoas muscle, posteriorly or rather anteriorly displaced, creating a structural problem, not just by torquing nerves, but by bending high up on the other end that junction between the esophagus and your stomach. Now, what are you going to do about this? You're going to learn to stretch your psoas. Now, what does that mean to you? Well, We're going to do a video on this. I promise you, before the first of the year, I will have a series of videos. Some of them will be about food. That's right. I'll be in a beautiful space preparing food. Notice how I don't say cook it. But preparing food, getting into all these details. And I also do a lot of these stretches done correctly. I'll be doing them. My assistants will be doing them. But for now, how do you stretch your psoas? You sit down on the floor and you go into the kneeling position. That's right, kneeling. You know, your buttocks is on your heels. But you can't do that, perhaps. So you take a great big pillow or towels or one of those, like, sitting pillows that they sell everywhere, and you put it under your buttocks at the right level so that when you sit in the kneeling position on the nice rug, you don't tear up your ankles, you don't tear up your knees, you don't pull apart your thighs. You simply support your buttocks so that when you're in the kneeling position as you're sitting, you can just get to a comfortable place. So you can stretch out the top of your ankles. So you can stretch out in the sitting, kneeling, rather in the kneeling position, the tops of your legs, your thighs. And then as you get more and more flexible, then you do the stretch, the hurdler stretch, where finally you sit on the floor and you take one leg and you bend it behind. You know this stretch. It's the hurdler stretch. And you just bend that leg behind. So the top of your foot is on the rug. And the top of your leg, your leg bone, is on the rug. And your knee is bent and you're sitting on your buttocks. That one leg is bent backwards. The other leg is forward. And then you start leaning back. So you start to pull the thigh. You start to stretch the thigh, the rectus femoris. And you're going to have to stick with it, guys. You're going to have to stay with it. And if you're really hungry for it, just get on YouTube and look at stretches for the psoas muscle, stretches for the thighs, and understand that as you become more proficient, the one I started with is easy. You'll begin to work the tension out of your thighs up into your groin, and then after a month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, you'll start to get a stretch high up into your stomach. That's pay dirt. That's bullseye. That's the day you connect to your psoas muscle. Guys, this is what yoga is about. This is what calisthenics is about. This is what Pilates is about. Anybody that does these things, whether they explain it or not, are trying to get you in touch with the psoas. So it falls backwards. And as the psoas falls backwards, your intestines relax and your stomach and your esophagus drops back down. It drops back down. And as it drops back down, then the junction between the end of the esophagus and the beginning of the stomach starts to relax and the tone becomes stronger. So the tone improves, so the sphincter closes. After you eat those spicy foods, it just wobbles on shut and stays shut. The psoas is driving 50% of the world's indigestion. Now, the other thing you can do is go to healthbridges.com and get the health bridge. It's this little wooden configuration that you lie on face up. And you take level one and you lie on and you stretch out your spine, the part of your spine that hunches you over. On this health bridge, it reverses that hunch. And as it reverses the hunch, it stretches the upper part of the psoas. It stretches the connective tissue around the solar plexus. And when you stretch it, you begin to pull it down. Remember when you were a cheerleader and you did back bend? Whether you came up from the floor or stood up and went backwards, some modification of that is what you do on the health bridge. And you'll learn to use the health bridge. And there's videos to learn the health bridge. And we'll be putting videos out soon. But don't wait. It's simple enough to learn. Healthbridges.com. Get level 1, 2, and 3. Get on it. Lie on it. Face up. Put it under your back. It's not complicated. And as you do that, you'll stretch out that solar plexus area. And again, just like stretching the psoas, after you stretch the thighs, you'll pull down the stomach much lower than it was before because there's room. Why? Because the psoas has dropped backwards and it's created more space. And you'll feel this enormous release of tension up there in the solar plexus. So you can live with indigestion, esophageal spasms, heartburn, gas, bloating, and the rest of it. Or you can fix your teeth, chew your food, prepare your food correctly, get your bile flowing, take your salt, take your digestive enzymes. Look at that. I just didn't say take your supplements. I said put it together. Do your gallbladder flushes. Don't allow your pancreas to exhaust itself by eating too much cooked food. Turn on your parasympathetics. Take it to the point where you can contact your psoas. Take it to the point where you can simulate some form of backbend. Chew, chew, and chew. Keep the bowels flowing. You will not know a day's worth of digestive problems. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Look forward to your Christmas presents with my videos and my literary section. I'll see you next week. Hope the weather stays the same. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. And the best part? You can call in live with your health questions every week. For those of you still holding for Dr. Medici, stay on hold. He'll continue to answer calls for as long as it takes. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. And remember, to contact his office for an appointment, call Rachel or Johanna at 310-320-1132. That's 310-320-1132. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.